Reads, Paul, an apostle not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And because we do have so long of a period in between studies here on the book of Galatians, we always need to go through our introduction because we've talked about a number of things that Paul was defending. First is apostleship, and second, the book of Galatians is about defending what is necessary for eternal life. And we have been studying lately that, you know, Paul got this apostleship from the resurrected Christ. So we have been spending time on the importance of the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean to the believer? And we asked, well, does someone need to know of the resurrection of Christ in order to have eternal life? And the verse that we have been talking about, and so we have been spending time in Romans for the last number of studies to try to get this understanding of what does it mean or how important or what do we need to know about salvation concerning the resurrection. And so many will use the verse out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so that seems on the surface to say, yes, you need to know to have, and so you got to confess Christ's resurrection in order to have salvation. But remember, in our studies that we've been doing, that salvation has different meanings throughout the New Testament. It does not always talk about being saved from eternal condemnation. And so we have been talking about also and gone to Romans chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, for while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then down to verse 9, it says, much more then, having now been justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And so our question there is that we will one day get there. It says, what does it mean, much more then? And if we get that understanding, then we're going to understand Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. And so our purpose and what we have been studying is really what is Paul talking about in Romans? What is being dealt with? Is it all about eternal life, being saved from eternal life? And so our scripture passages that we have been studying have been from Romans. We started with chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and now we have been working our way through verses 18 through 32, and we are currently on verse 19. Verses 18 through 32 read this way, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, the glory of the incorruptible God, for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, Men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So we have been working on this, and we have been moving down on exactly what Paul is addressing here, and he is addressing the wrath of God on man, and that wrath is taking place at the present period of time. It says in verse 16, God's righteousness is revealed. That is understood to be in present time. So therefore, when the wrath of God is spoken of in Romans 1:18, it is to be understood also as being in the present time. We discussed that man is busy suppressing the truth about God. Man does not want to know the truth about God. Man wants to run away from that very truth of God and all about God's Word. Romans 1:18 says, we were talking about absolute truths in Rome. Thank you. Nobody sees the slides. Just hold on. There. Is everyone happy? Romans 1:18 tells us that there are absolute truths. And this truth is being suppressed by ungodly and unrighteous men. They refuse to answer to the authority of God. That's what man wants to do. They want to reject the very authority of God. And we were talking about this very thing. And so many have their own ideas on how to receive eternal life. We hear many different, those of us that are in this church, we have heard different gospel messages. Everybody has their idea, even those who come under the heading of being a Christian. The truth is, Jesus is the only way that anybody can approach God the Father. It is not, as some in some false religion, it is not through the works of individuals either before or after salvation. Jesus says, I am the way. So Jesus and believers in him receive much in the way of negative. We said how when we say that it is only through Jesus Christ, we receive a lot of negative from the world because they want to suppress the truth. Romans 1:18-32 is about suppressing that truth. And so they want to suppress the truth about what indeed is eternal life. And as we are moving on, this opposition is increasing in our daily life. And so Christians are accused of being intolerant of others' way of living, or they're intolerant of others' belief systems. Those who believe in Buddha and Mohammed, they must be shown tolerance as defined by the world, tolerance defined by the world. And however, the world sees to be intolerable towards us as Christians and in our Christian beliefs. So Jesus is despised and hated by the world because he is the absolute truth. Eternal life is only through him, and the world rejects it. They reject and they suppress the very truth of God's Word and of Jesus Christ. They want to continue. The world wants to continue. And I might add that as we're looking at this, do not exclude believers. But they want to continue in their own ungodly and unrighteous ways of trying to earn eternal life. They reject the truth of doing it God's way, and therefore they receive his present wrath. Right. The things that we have, the things that we see, are because of that present wrath. And we had talked about, why do we expect, the world to treat us any different? Because Jesus has taught us that we will be treated that way. They hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. And so the world's desire is to silence the Christian. We need to suppress that very truth about who they are and about the message in which they have. And they are living out with that present wrath right now of God because they are suppressing that truth. This is where we now pick up in our new study. You know, Jesus talks about this being suppressed. And he talks about this being this truth that is just ignored and doesn't want to be listened to by the world and the message in which he has. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And we will go through the message that people do not want to hear. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Reads there, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way that narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And so we're going to talk about truth, about that very word. Jesus speaks of that very difficulty of this very simple truth that he is the only way to eternal life. Jesus says that he is the life. And the eternal life that someone can receive is through, they must pass through that narrow gate. It has to come that way. It cannot come any other way. It has to come. Oh, you Christians, you're so narrow-minded in your thinking. You just think everything you're saying is correct. But Jesus says you will want, if you want eternal life, you will come through this narrow gate. Amen. It is simply believing the message, faith alone in Christ alone. Amen. Jesus offers eternal life to anyone who accepts that offer. He told the woman at the well, "If you drink of this living water, you'll have eternal life." And that's all it is, to drink from that eternal water. Faith alone and Christ alone. Here's the truth that is rejected. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Here is a truth about the message that Jesus gives us. Jesus says many will go through the broad way. That should hurt us. That should make us start to meditate on what is happening in the world. It should help us meditate on our friends and their stance. Because Jesus says many will reject him. Many will go through the way, the broad way, because they are busy, as Romans 1:18 is telling us, they are busy suppressing the truth that the narrow way must be entered through. They don't want to hear the truth about Jesus. People want to suppress the truth because they want to live in their own unrighteousness. They don't want to follow God's righteousness. They want to follow their own unrighteousness. I want to follow my will, not God's will. So they try to enter through some other means of religion or their works in order to have that eternal life. And so, Isaiah wrote to us, our best efforts, our best righteousness that we can present and give to God is like a filthy rag. Right. We cannot do any better than that. It's worthless. The truth is, and it's a sobering thought, is that few will enter through that narrow gate that leads to life. Some teach that Jesus is the way. We hear that message. Jesus is the way. He gives eternal life to those who trust him. Here's the problem. After salvation, they say the individual must show the results of that salvation, or these individuals were never saved. It is with this kind of teaching that one is trying to widen that narrow gate. They're busy trying to widen that narrow gate. by teaching that there is more than just believing in Jesus Christ for eternal life. They are saying it is not simply, you just can't simply walk through that narrow gate, but you must do something else to get to receive eternal life. Bruce is back there going like this. I have a problem when I get going sometimes to stay in the film. Satan has gotten us pretty comfortable in theological arguments and debates about eternal life. We just debate it. We got one book here, one book there, one book there, and we're just talking, well, what does this mean? How do we have eternal life? Well, I believe this, I believe that. This narrow gate that Jesus is talking about, this very truth that is busy being suppressed, is more than just a matter of interpretation of God's Word. It can mean the difference between having eternal life or not having it. If we say we can walk through that narrow gate and have eternal life, but yet at the same time we are busy trying to widen that gate, which Jesus says, wide is the gate that and broad is the destruction, and many will walk through that. We cannot widen that gate even one inch.
That's right.
It is the belief of someone, if the belief of someone is Jesus plus performance or anything else, question is, have they actually gone through that narrow gate? That's a question. We pray and hope that anybody, when they went through that narrow gate, and then whatever they're teaching afterwards or whatever they're trying to express afterwards, that is that they just got so messed up in their theology and in their study, and maybe they just got brainwashed by those who teach another way, that's how they will perform after salvation. We hope that's what happened. But the bottom line is, you need to go through the narrow gate. You cannot suppress the truth, Jesus says. Simply believing, faith alone in Christ alone, and you have eternal life. The world does not want to hear that message, and even Satan is working with those who profess faith alone in Christ alone to teach a different message so others will not receive the truth. So, here's the bottom line with those that teach and try to widen that gate versus us that are in the free grace section. See, they are either correct in their teaching, or those of us in free grace theology are correct. Both teachings cannot be correct.
That's it.
You cannot have both correct. You women will understand, you can't be sort of pregnant. You are either pregnant or you're not. You're either going to have a child or you're not. And this is the same thing. Either you walk through the narrow gate and Jesus is faith alone and Christ alone, or there's something else that needs to be added. We both cannot be right. Both ways cannot pass through that narrow gate. Galatians, if you will, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And we'll talk more of this on the day that we get there. But we're just going to touch on it, just a teaser, so to speak. I heard that word today. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now again, if any man has preached to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Both messages can't be right. Paul was addressing that in Galatians. God's wrath is against man who suppresses that truth in unrighteousness. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Man wants to suppress that very truth. This is why God's wrath is taking place. This is what Romans 1:18 through 32 is dealing with and speaking of. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." It's the world's teaching. It is the world viewpoint, human viewpoint, not divine viewpoint. Moving on to Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, which reads this way. "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so they are without excuse."
Yes.
Very powerful verse for our understanding. God's made it evident within them. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, 6 through 13. Read parts of that. Genesis chapter 3, 6 through 10 says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" For an illustrated purpose of what we are talking about here, we are going to show what the very character of man is and the character of God and who He is. And so as we take a look at Adam and Eve, you know, after they sinned by disobeying the Word of God. That's all they did. They disobeyed the Word of God. How many times have we disobeyed the Word of God already on this Sunday morning because we have gone off in our own ways and our own thinking? But that simple disobeying the Word of the Lord and what He has said caused the sin of the world. So they realized that they were naked. They realized that something had happened. Something had taken place. And so they went ahead, and when they heard God, they covered up their sin in their own way. And when we're talking about the fact that they covered up their own sin, they started their own religious practice. I will hide my sin. I will not let my sin show. I will find some religion that'll take care of the sin, and I'll do it my way and not God's way. So at the sound of God, they immediately hid themselves from the very presence of God. So now if we want to try and stretch this into being a spiritual matter, or spirituality, if we want to understand God and His Word as being truth, what they were doing was suppressing the truth about God's Word. And they were hiding their own sin nature, which they now had. They knew what God's Word was. They knew they failed at God's Word. But see, I went ahead and I went and acted according to my will, so now I'm going to suppress that very Word of God, and I will live life my way. And I will hide from God because I don't want to see God's Word. I don't want to see the truth about God. I just want to live life my way. I will suppress that truth. Furthermore, they now try to make excuses for blaming God. Adam blamed the woman. "Well, Lord, you gave me the woman. It has to be your fault. Why'd you do that, God?" Eve, she's blaming Satan. You know, at all times, we like to blame Satan for a lot of things. Well, he does deceive us, and he does tempt us. But it's our own sin nature, and it's our own sin that we fall. We learn a lot about God. We learn about Adam and Eve. We learn about God that He is busy seeking out man. and making a way of salvation to them. Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. You see, salvation and covering up our sins can only be done one way. It is God's way and it is his plan. And if we do not want to cover up our sins, doing it God's way, that is through the cross, through Jesus Christ who paid that sin, we're going some other direction. If we are trying to go through some other direction than walking through that narrow gate, we are suppressing that truth and we are trying to make it our way, and we are busy knocking out little bits and pieces of that narrow gate to try to widen it for our own benefit and our own understandings. So our lesson to learn from all of this is that man desires to move away from God, just like Adam and Eve did. We will not follow God's way. We will not follow His righteousness. And so we'll move away from God. And God desires, on His side, He wants to reveal Himself to man. He wants to make Himself known to man, so that man can have salvation and man can have an eternal relationship. It is all initiated by God, and it is not initiated by us. But you see, we want to suppress that truth because we want to say, oh no, Lord, okay, I'll do parts of it. I'll put faith alone in Christ alone, but yet salvation is part of my works. It's part of my behavior. It's part of whatever. You know, I am going to do some of this my own way. And God says, no. You will do it this way or you don't have eternal life. That's the danger of what we teach about eternal life. So therefore, God does not hide anything of great value. If it has great value, God makes it aware. He will let us know what is the truth. He has not tried to hide it. He has not tried to disguise anything about eternal life. He is not trying to disguise anything about knowing Him and who He is and of His power and of His divine nature. He is busy showing God, showing man. He showed Adam and Eve. They couldn't hide from Him, but He revealed Himself to them. So He reveals when it comes to knowing this eternal God. God made Himself known through the creation of the world, it says. And this is what we want to learn. Man wants to reject this idea of a creator. This is part of the suppression that Romans 1:18 through 32 is talking about. They want to suppress the idea of a creator. And so they'll suppress the very truth about God. To accept the truth of an eternal creator, I can't do that because that's going to make me accountable for my actions. And this even goes for believers. I don't want to be accountable for my actions. I do not want to listen to God's word. I want to suppress that very truth. So the individual, even though they reject the creation, it is evident within them that there is a creator because God made it evident. No one can run from that. God has made it evident in them. The individual, in looking at the creation, is able to see clearly the invisible attributes of God. The individual is able to look at the creation and he's able to see, and they are able to see the eternal power. They are able to see the divine nature of who God is and that God exists and that God created it. It has been made evident within man and man is suppressing it. This is so obvious, even that just like Adam and Eve, as they were in that garden, so it is today, this very day, in 2015, man is without excuse because God has made it evident. Everyone is able to have this knowledge of the Creator. There is no one excluded. I'm not excluded. You're not excluded. The guy down the street, he's not excluded. Everyone is able to have this knowledge because everyone has this evidence in them. The educated as well as the uneducated, can know of the Creator God. It doesn't matter how much education anyone has ever had or how lack of education anyone has. It is evident to look at the creation and we know that it was made by the Creator God and through His divine nature and His divine power. You know, we have been blessed on Wednesday nights, and I don't know how she does it because it makes my head spin. And if I really had to sit down and study this and tear it apart, I wouldn't be able to do it. But Kimberly on Wednesday nights has been working pretty hard. And Kimberly, and she's teaching us on the subject of creation and evolution. And it's been a wonderful study as we learn things that we can't even imagine that is taking place and that is out there. And what we do understand and what we come to know is that as we go deeper into this understanding in the creation process, how everything has worked, how everything just falls into place and has been put together, the one conclusion that we can come to on Wednesday nights is that the more knowledge that we have about the complexity of how everything was created, the more we know that it was an all-powerful God who created it. You can't help. The more knowledge, the better. It all points to the facts of the eternal power and divine nature of God. That's what we've been learning. But let's get a truth from Romans 1:18 through 32. Let us not get sidetracked. You know, what we learn on Wednesday nights is for the believers. It's for us. It's for us to know. It's for us to see the wonders of the Lord. It's in His work and to see the awesomeness of the Lord. But you see, God is not going to hold anyone accountable for their lack of knowledge of understanding the creation process. None of us is going to be held accountable for that. But everyone is accountable and without excuse. Now listen to me. Everyone is accountable and without excuse for not simply seeing the creation and rejecting the work and the power of the eternal God.
Yes.
That is Romans 1:18. God says, it's there, look at it, I made it, you believe it. But we want to reject that very truth. Even the uneducated that we are talking about can see this because God made it evident to them. This is what even little Obadiah at three years old can walk around and he can be taught, and he can be taught to say, God created those trees, God created everything that was out there, and Obadiah has enough information, and God put the evidence within Obadiah that Obadiah knows it's true.
Amen.
That's every one of us. As I said, it's only for really us, the believers, to know the awesomeness and the power of God. And the thing that we need to understand when we're looking at this is that when we are trying to want to get in debates, we're in a debating society now. We want to debate everything. I've kind of been on this bandwagon, I guess, for a while. We want to debate everything. We want to argue about everything. So we want to debate people about the creation process. We want to give them all this information. We want to do this, do that, whatever. Here's the truth. Do we believe God's word? Is this God's word? Is this truth? We cannot give anybody who rejects the truth of the creation any more information than what God has done from the moment we were born. God made it evident to the individual. He has put it there that the individual knows that it was Him that created everything, but man wants to reject it. They're suppressing the truth of God. We cannot put any more into an individual than what God's already put there. We cannot put any more understanding into an individual than God has already put there because He has made it evident to them. Now, the believer should recognize the power of God, and it should be a motivator to the believer, but it isn't. It should be a motivator to the believer in the spiritual life, but it isn't. Take God for granted, and we could care really less how we behave before God. We don't really take the idea that we will one day stand before God, and He will judge us according to our actions, our thoughts, our attitudes, and everything about us, and how we responded to His Word. Because we should understand this, that we will one day be face to face with God. We will all, as believers, understand that we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand that also, because we didn't take the divine power and nature of God, of what He has created, seriously in our lives, that we will shed tears and we will feel terrible if Jesus doesn't tell us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And our motivation is the fact of looking out there and seeing the very power of the creation that God has made. He has made it evident within us. And we cannot suppress that truth, as even as believers. So the question may be asked, what about someone, if they would see God as a creator, they would come to an understanding, hey, there's someone more powerful than I am. That this just didn't happen because of some big bang explosion or whatever they want to think about. What if someone says there is really a God and yet have never heard of Jesus Christ for salvation? And this question comes up quite a bit. You know, what about them? You know, how does God handle that? Would they still have eternal life? Would God judge them as still being responsible for not hearing the very message of Jesus Christ, eternal life, faith alone in Christ alone? Well, let's go see what Zane Hodges says about this. Zane Hodges held that the Scriptures taught that if someone searched out God wanting to know the truth about God, that God would send more information. We have to understand at times, you know, we got to understand, you know, when we're looking at God, he sought out Adam and Eve. And sometimes we want to look at from our own human viewpoints. Oh, what if somebody did? You know, man wants to suppress the truth. But if someone is looking to know more of God, to know more about how to receive this eternal life, He would send more information to that individual to come to that knowledge of the truth. Turn to John chapter 12, verse 32. And we might close on this. John chapter 12, verse 32. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Now turn to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. It says, But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. And concerning judgment, because a ruler of this world has been judged. And now if you will go further into Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 10. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 10. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to him. And finally, one more place, Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring that all men, all people everywhere should repent. The bottom line, as we get ready to close down, it is God's desire that we have eternal life. It is not our desire that we have eternal life, at least not according to God's way. God's message, we don't search and we don't seek out the true and living God. What Romans 1:18 tells us is that we want to suppress the truths about God. God wants to reveal to us. If there is someone who truly wants to know the true God, wants to know the true Creator, and wants to know of His power, God will make it available. For if God can create this whole world, this whole universe, this whole creation, certainly He can make it available to get someone there to teach the message of eternal life by faith alone in Christ alone. I know in our own experience we would never have thought it imaginable in our lifetime that we would be sent to teach the message of faith alone in Christ alone. But God made it available, and we still don't know how that happened, but God did it. And that's what God will do. We need to see these things from the divine viewpoint. We need to see it from His perspective, from the way God sees it, not from the way we see it. And so this is what these scripture verses pointed out. If there is someone who really wants to know about Jesus Christ, about eternal life, God will make it available. Amen. And not suppress the truth. And so, got something to look forward to the next time that we have our study, and we can't get into this. But it'll be an important topic about the condition of the man after the fall. And we're going to talk a little bit about Calvinism and how they see these verses. And we're going to talk about how they look at the total inability of man to even understand what we've been talking about. And we'll try to correct those teachings. Amen. Did you want to close? You want me to close? So as we get ready.